Welcome. Thanks to everyone who's come today. It's good to see the hall so full. Kind of awkward times and awkward situations to be gathering, but we're glad you've taken the time and you've had the respect and love for Marvin and for Linda and for the family to come. It means the world to them. I know it does, and it means the world to all of us, for we're all in this time together. So we're glad you're here. Just to give a little bit of announcements, there's no printed schedule. There'll be The obituary will be read by Mr. Kent Hendrickson, and then there'll be a song by Don Powell and by Heidi Steenerson. And then after that, just to get your minds thinking, there's going to be a time if anyone has a memory they would like to share or a story they would like to tell, there'll be an open mic for that. And then there'll be another song, and I'll introduce this stuff as we go through. You don't have to remember. But just to get your minds thinking and what's next. Then there'll be a little word from the Bible, and another song and a closing prayer and some announcements, and we'll go to the cemetery. So we're glad you're here. Thanks for coming. Your presence speaks volumes. Even though sometimes at a funeral, I shouldn't say sometimes, every time, you don't know what to say. It's awkward. Your words seem so generic. You say you have our sympathies, and the first 20 guys ahead of you said the same thing. And it's hard to know what to say. Our hearts are sometimes so broke we can't come up with words. But funerals aren't a time to talk. They're a time to listen. And so let's listen to one another's hearts today. But more importantly, let's listen not only to that, but to what God has to say to us today. We'll open in prayer. Father, as we quiet ourselves in thy presence, we give thanks for our brother Marvin, a husband, a faithful husband, a faithful father and friend, and elder in the assembly. And our Father, we're here now as we would about partake of laying his remains in the grave. Our Father, we think of a life that was lived. Our Father, we think of all the joy that he brought to our hearts and all the labor that he did. He was a man of service. And our Father, we're thankful for him. And our Father, most of all today, we're thankful that he was saved. That as we consider his soul in heaven, as we consider the joy and the bliss that is his in eternity forevermore, our Father, we rejoice for the Savior who loved him and died for him. Not only for Marvin, but for the rest of us, our Father, to consider that all of our need has been met at Calvary, and the Lord Jesus has glorified God in his death and satisfied thy throne, that we might be satisfied where God is satisfied. We think of this poor groaning world, and there is no satisfaction in any of it. It's only a broken record. There is things that we do and we repeat, and we do and we repeat. But our Father, when we think of the salvation of the soul, it's once and it's forever and forever satisfying. And so we would seek to honor Marvin today, but we'd seek to glorify the Lord Jesus. And our Father, we ask for help in this service today. Pray for the family, Lord, for their comfort and for their well-being and for the care that is needed that can only come from God. And we look to thee to meet these needs. And so we ask now for thy presence and for thy help in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Mr. Kent Hendrickson will read the obituary.
Marvin William Johnson, age 70, passed into the loving arms of Jesus on November 6, 2020, with his wife Linda by his side after a battle with coronavirus at Gunderson Health System in La Crosse. Marvin was born on a little farm just outside of Ontario to William and Vivian Lucille Huffman Johnson. He graduated from Brookwood High School. On April 17, 1971, Marvin married the love of his wife, Linda Paulson, from Wilton. In 1979, Marvin started his own excavating company, Johnson Construction, and with the help of his son, Joshua, has been able to keep the business running for 42 years. For the last 13 years, he has been driving bus for the Norwalk, Ontario, Wilton School District, where he enjoyed getting to know all the children on his bus route. Marvin enjoyed going for rides in his classic cars, visiting with friends and family, and attending meetings at the Gospel Hall in Ontario. Marvin always had a generous spirit and loved helping people. He was very proud of his kids and his grandkids and loved spending time with them. Marvin enjoyed watching his grandkids participate in sports and other activities. He was recently introduced to a smartphone and found great pleasure in talking to Google and laughing his wonderful infectious giggle at just about everything. He had a great sense of humor and loved to laugh at his own jokes. He was raised in a Christian home, and in 1977 the Lord began to deal with his soul. Marvin realized that he was a rebel sinner on his way to hell. He realized that it is finished, in the words of John 19:30, and he thought, what is finished? The work to save my soul from hell is finished. He realized the truth of John 10:25, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He then obeyed the Lord in baptism and joined the local assembly in 1977, where he has enjoyed the Lord more and more every day. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 18:20. Marvin looked forward to being in the presence of the Lord. What a joy to be in his presence, the God of eternity. It gets better every day as we get closer to the rapture. To God be the glory for great things he hath done. Marvin made it a priority to get his children and grandchildren under the sound of the gospel, so that they can enjoy the same salvation that he and Linda enjoy. He fervently prayed for salvation for his family and everyone that he met and cared for. He never met anyone with whom he wouldn't share his testimony. Marvin is survived by his wife of 49 years, Linda, his son, Wyatt, June Johnson of Ontario, his daughter, Casey Stye of Winona, Minnesota, his daughter, Carrie Johnson, and his son, Joshua Johnson, both of Ontario. He has two granddaughters, Allie Johnson of Ontario and Catalina Stye of Blaine, Minnesota, and one grandson, Cole Stye of Winona, Minnesota. In addition, he is survived by his sisters, Dolores Richard Sanders of San Antonio, Texas, and Linda Bruce Spencer of Hillsboro, his brother, Gordon Diane Johnson of Ontario, his sister-in-law, Therese Johnson of Ontario, and his brother-in-law, Richard Russell of Wanawak. He is also survived by his sister-in-law, Judy Dennis Clark of Strum, Wisconsin, his brother-in-law, Doug Rayanne Paulson of Mauston, his brother-in-law, Daniel Paulson of Wilton, as well as many nieces, nephews, great-nieces, and great-nephews. He was preceded in death by his parents, William and Vivian Lucille, his brother, Arthur Johnson, his sister, Jeanette Russell, his brothers-in-law, Robert Sake and Richard Spencer, his father and mother-in-law, Leroy and Leona Paulson, and many aunts, uncles, family, and friends. Maybe as long as I'm up here, rather than getting up again, I'll add some of my memories or reminiscing. One of the few here, perhaps, who was saved before Marvin was. I was here in those meetings in 1977. I was saved in 1973. So I remember the excitement that we had when Marvin started coming to gospel meetings, because we had been told, I'd come into the assembly in 1973. We knew that Lucille had a son who lived here in town, but he'd never came to meetings. And we had prayed for him often. So when he started coming in, we were excited. And then to see him saved was the answer for much prayer. And to thank God that from the first, right from the beginning, after he was saved, his desire was to honor the Lord. And he was a faithful witness, as many of you, probably all of you who know him, know. And so it's been a joy to watch him grow and mature spiritually and to take responsibility in the assembly. Besides functions within the assembly here, everywhere around this building and parking lot and everything connected, he was primarily the doer of it. He lived here in town. He drove by the place frequently. If he saw something needed to be done, he did it. And we're going to miss him greatly. And I'm sure you all will, and our sympathies indeed to the family. But for Marvin, though we'll miss him, for him it's far better. God gave him the extra years with his liver transplant We thank God for that. And now he's at home with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so we can rejoice and be comforted in that today.
Don and Heidi will sing us a song. Share about Marvin, or how he's touched your life, feel free at this time.
I worked with Marv for quite a few years with the village, and he was all talented on that backhoe. I had never seen anybody in my life that could run a machine better than him. The one thing I always remember about Marv. He always had something generous to say about somebody, or we'd talk, and we'd get laughing so hard that tears would go down our eyes. And it was a joy to work with him. He was always talking about everything. And I'm sure now he's in heaven, and his brother Art, the guy also has a privilege to work with. I'll never forget the day of Don Jones, with those big soft maple trees. He was up in the top of those by the red squirrel. And when the truck would pull the tree and cinch it tight, and he'd cut it and make it fall, the tree would weaver back and forth, and he'd be grinning. He just loved it. He loved what he did. And it's been a joy to know those two guys. I tell you, we're all going to miss them a lot. And I just pray for the family and all their friends. We'll be able to meet them someday.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Drew Powell, and I'd like to share something about Marvin. On the night of July 12th, Marvin read these verses with me from 1 John chapter 5. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he had testified of his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. If we receive the witness of men. Marvin Johnson was one of the most powerful witnesses in my life. He helped me to see what I've missed for so long. I'd like to share my testimony with you. As we sat around an early evening campfire at home, I asked my mom, "Can I just go to bed instead of going to gospel meeting?" Very annoyed, she said, "No, go get ready." At the regular Sunday night gospel meeting, Marv got up, as he was so faithful in doing. I was sitting right in that seat, and I wasn't really paying attention. But then the Lord had me pay attention for about 5 seconds. In those 5 seconds, I heard Marvin say, "What if the Lord came to you personally and said, 'I came for you'?" Immediately, I thought, all I've ever done is rejected him. I wouldn't have anything to say. But then I thought about it again and realized that's exactly why he came. He came for me. As I was sat there in my seat, marveling at this reality, I began reading the texts on the wall. Starting with that sign, I read Romans 5 and 6. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." And I thought, it says he came for me. 1 John 1 and 7. "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And again I thought, he came for me. Then John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." They all said the same thing. He came for me. Finally, over my left shoulder, I read John 19 and 30. It was clear to me for the first time ever. "Indeed, it is finished." I was in disbelief. I got up and went downstairs. I went into the old Sunday school room, a room I was very familiar with. It was there that I heard week after week about the Savior. But week after week, the words would blow over my head, but on this particular Sunday night, I sat down in that room and prayed. I asked God to make it clear whether I was saved or not. But as I stood, I already knew. Back upstairs I went. I asked my brother for a pencil. I underlined John 19 and 30 and wrote these words: "He came for me because he loved me." Later that night, Mom and I went to Marv's house to share my news. On the way there, I told my mom, "All these years, people have cared more about my soul more than I ever have." Marvin was one of those people. Sunday nights, he would join the others in praying for my soul. And at Wednesday night prayer meeting, I would hear his voice again, lifting me up in prayer. But not just for me. He prayed for you too. Why? Because he loved you and he loved his Savior. He worked tirelessly on maintaining and remodeling this hall, again showing his care for me and you. His desire was so that God's witness can continue here in Ontario and in you and me. A few years ago, Marvin fought for his life. His liver transplant lengthened his time here. I am convinced that Marvin's extra time here was for me. God had a job for him, to guide me to God's great salvation. Marvin was faithful. I hope I can resemble this great man when I grow up.
Don and Heidi, could you give us your second song? If someone wanted to say something, we'll leave you just a little bit after this song. Sometimes we have to sweat a little bit before we can share our thoughts.
at my dad's funeral, they had an open mic, and it went on for a very, very long time. But it made me realize how important it is when we remember people who have had such an influence in my life. When I think of Marvin, I think of specific instances that he showed, just the gentle and caring spirit that he was. I've seen him in some very difficult situations that it would have been easy to be angry, to be hurt. And instead, the grace of God gave him the ability to just love others as Christ loves them. And I think of this community and how he was able to do that in so many different realms, whether it would be with school bus children who maybe weren't the best behaved at all times. And I think that they were probably very blessed to have Marv as their bus driver. I think of the people that he did business with, and sometimes business can be shrewd and difficult, but I can't imagine that ever a crossword could be said about Marvin and the work that he and Josh did for people. But then I think of him here in the assembly and the way that he had such a care for the assembly and for the people, just always has touched my heart. And in a lot of ways, Marvin reminded me a lot of my own dad. And he just had a special way with people. And I very much appreciated and admired him for that. And I think I'm really going to miss hearing Marvin get up, because in a lot of ways, he reminded me so much of my dad and the wisdom that he could impart. And so I'm just very thankful that he shared himself with us just so faithfully.
My name's Lisa Bolton. I think this will be better. Do I get up? I don't know if anyone else can relate with me right now, but I've been trying to live a new life of not living in regret, and I didn't want to leave here without getting up and sharing my love with the family, how much you guys mean to me. Your dad meant a lot to me. Your husband meant a lot to me. I grew up from my sophomore year on getting the pleasure of listening to him, along with the other assembly members that would get up and preach and share the gospel with me. And I'm just grateful for there being the example of Marvin to preach and be willing to speak the truth. I grew up not hearing the truth. And so it was something that I really appreciated him being willing to do. I'm going to remember his laugh as well. I always remember forever is a smile on his face. And wanted to get up here, and Dawn really touched my heart with what she shared as well. With it reminded me of my father's funeral, and it really meant a lot to me to hear people get up and share their experiences, what they appreciated about my dad. And so that's what made me get up just now, is to be able to just share how much I appreciated Marvin being there faithfully. And if I had one word to describe him, it would be consistent. And he's inspired me to be more consistent in the things that he has been willing to do, not only for the Lord and through the Lord's work, but in the people, in the community, in the family, and the friends. And so to be more like him, our father, but then also to be more like Marvin. And just want the family to know how much I love you, and how much I've been praying for you, and I am here for you.
Thank you. have a lot to say, and we don't have time for it all, but everybody knows that Marvin was a great guy after he was saved. But we all have our faults. But he was a great man before he was saved. He married Linda when I was in grade school, and he was never, I can't remember, I'm thinking, I would confess, I don't think we've had a cross word in all the time I've known him, because he is such, was, is such a nice man, and he was so appreciative of everything, but he did mention, he appreciated my dad taking him fishing. We got old and busy, too busy working. We didn't have time to fish even then, but he always appreciated that my dad would take anybody fishing, but he made sure we had a good time with a mini bike when we were young, and he introduced us to snowmobiles, the machinery part of it. But after he was saved, then he was just, I can't, this is such an act of art. It's such a tribute to follow. We can't try, but he just was a great brother-in-law, a great brother in Christ, and I can remember before I was saved that we would, if they had a little extra to do, maybe a haul a load of gravel or a little something around the shop, I'd sneak around there and hope he'd slip up and share a little of the gospel. So I, and he never failed us, but he was
Before I read a scripture or two, I'll just share a few thoughts that I had about Marv. I wrote down a list, some time to think this week, and I think maybe I've went through my mind six different things to talk about at this funeral, but I'd like to talk about the contrasts at a funeral. But Marvin, I grew up listening to Marvin and here at the assembly, knowing him my whole life. Went to Sunday school with Wyatt and Josh and Carrie and Casey, and I think of Marv's Savior, his Savior. I got some S words here. Marv loved his Savior. He did. You can't say anything, but he absolutely adored the Lord Jesus Christ. And though we're here to honor Marvin and to support the family, we're here to glorify the Lord. And Marvin, I really believe, tried to do that. He tried to do that all the time. And so he loved the fact that it was finished. Being a man in construction, there's nothing like having a job that's done. And Joshua, you appreciate that. When that job is done and you go home and that's it, and the check comes in because the job is done. And Marvin could appreciate what it meant to have a work that was finished that he couldn't do. Did you ever have anything you couldn't do? And someone come along who had the power and the ability to do it and they did it for you? Marvelous. And that's what he saw in salvation, that he couldn't save himself. But there was one who loved him and came and did that work for him, and that it was all finished. Yes, even for Marvin and even for Drew, and even for those who aren't saved here today. The work is still finished. It's still completed. So I think of his Savior. I think of his soul. He was forgiven. Now, we're not going to lie and say he was perfect. Marvin wasn't perfect. None of us are perfect. But he was forgiven. And what a marvelous thing to know what it is to be forgiven. Fully, freely. Oh, do Christians still sin? Yes, we still sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Marvin was a forgiven soul. And a forgiven soul is a happy soul. And his laugh has been brought up. And I was trying to describe it. I couldn't think if it was a cackle or a giggle. I think it was somewhere in between. But it was catchy. And he would get on a roll, and then he would start tipping backwards and sideways, and pretty soon we were all laughing. He was a very, very happy soul. And his smile, he had that friendly smile. He could disarm you with his smile. You look at this guy coming. Some guys you see coming, and you're like, oh, man, There's an ornery guy. But Marvin wasn't that way. Marvin could charm you with his smile. Maybe that's what got you, Linda. I don't know. Whatever happened so many years ago. His smile. He had that gleam, that shine when he smiled. Thought of his smile. Thought of his sweetness. There comes a time in life when you start to watch other people. When you're young and you're growing up and you're in your teens and your 20s, you know it all. When you get in your 30s, you realize you don't really know anything at all. And you start to watch people. Maybe it's when you have kids too, you start to watch. You watch how they're growing up. And I started watching how old people grow old. Because Lord be not come, that might be me someday. How do people grow old? And you see crabby old men and crabby old ladies. There's none of them here today, is there? But just to watch people grow old. And I remember when Marv started driving the bus. I always knew he was a construction guy. And then he started driving bus and he started telling stories about the kids on the bus. Well, so-and-so has got hard going. And so-and-so maybe is... They're pretty quiet. Something's not right there. And so she's a little jabberbox, that one over there. And he started telling stories about these kids. And you know, I started to see a change in him. I'm going to call this his sweetness. Now, you and his family have known his sweetness more than us. You were with him way more than we were. And you knew his sweetness before we did. But I really started to see these kids were starting to rub off on him. And there was a sweetness starting to bubble out. And then he got sick. The first time he was out in lacrosse, and I don't think we thought he was going to make it. They poked through his liver and all the stuff was going on in his stomach and his intestines. And I remember the first time he came back to meeting. He wore the same suit, but it didn't fit anymore. And that's not a slam. That's his faithfulness. And he couldn't hardly talk. He was weak and his voice was soft. And he came back and he worshiped. And he prayed. And that was his service. He was faithful. That word's been mentioned by about everybody up here. His faithfulness. And then he gets a new liver. And he gets a new lease on life. And he loved to tell the story. That was his service. He was faithful. He would teach the Word of God on Sunday mornings. And sometimes he would read way more than he could ever cover. But that's okay, the Word of God is good. And then sometimes he would get off on a story that he experienced throughout the week, and he was very practical. And his whole point was to encourage people to go on for God, to go on for the local assembly, to go on for testimony to what God has done. And then he was an evangelist. In the good old days, he would say he used to have a few gospel meetings around, but that wasn't his calling. But his heart was for people and their soul salvation. Then there was Marvin's sadness. I've seen him sad. If you want to know what's on a person's heart, listen to him pray. And I saw Marv's heart very, very heavy. For some of you in this audience today, he would pray for those that weren't saved. He would pray for the community. He would pray for his friends. He'd pray for those in the community that were hurting and suffering, going through hard times. And he was sad sometimes. That's life. Sad sometimes. I'd like to read a verse that popped into my mind the moment I heard that Marvin was in heaven, that he passed away. I was in West Virginia, and we're going to read it. It's in the book of Romans, and I'll just read it to you. It's in Romans in chapter 12, and it's verse number 15. It says, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." There's a contrast there. As I was sitting out in the quiet of the woods this week, I was thinking about this funeral. Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. And that's what was on my mind way back when Marvin passed. How can you rejoice at a funeral? Have you ever rejoiced at a funeral? I'm going to suggest today that we rejoice with those that rejoice. Well, then we're going to have to answer the question, who is rejoicing? Marvin is rejoicing. Marvin is rejoicing right now. He's wanted to see his Savior for years. He prayed for the Lord to come with a broken heart because he knew if the Lord would come and he'd get to see him, he would be absolutely thrilled, but there'd be some that would be left. He's been longing to see his Savior. He's rejoicing. We're going to read another verse. He's in the glory. But can you imagine what it was for Marvin to go from the Gunderson Hospital there into the presence of the Lord in heaven? It's unspeakable. The unspeakable rejoicing that that man had. So we can rejoice with him today. Who else is there? All those that went on before. I think of Bill and Lucille and Art and Jeanette and whoever else in the family that is in heaven today. What a rejoicing. Rejoicing. Pure joy. The angels are rejoicing. There's rejoicing in the presence of the angels in heaven over a sinner that repents when they're saved. And what must it be like when they're finally there? The rejoicing. But the Lord Jesus is rejoicing. He's been waiting for Marvin for all these years. You know that it isn't our lifetime why we're created. We're created a soul, and we're given a body. And our body is temporal, and our soul is eternal. And our soul will exist forever. And so we're here, we go about life, we get taken up with the things that are down here in this on this dirt, if I could call it that. But what matters is what's eternal. And we're going to read some verses about that. So I don't want to get ahead of myself, or just be repeating myself. So we rejoice with those that rejoice, we weep with those that weep. Who's that? That's all of us here today. The ones that are left. The ones that are here. The ones now who have a hole in their life. The ones now who are alone, in a sense. We weep with one another because we miss him. And it's okay and it's good to do. And death hasn't lost its sting yet. That's at the resurrection. There is still sting of death when a loved one is gone. But I want to say something a little bit about being alone. When God brings us to a place where he puts a hole in our life, like a funeral, and then we feel like we're alone and we're all left, what's the reason for that? When God gets us to a place that we're all alone, it's for the purpose that he can be with us. Do you ever notice how busy you are in life? You're too busy for God. You really are. I am too. We've got to be here, we've got to be there, we've got to be in six different places at once, and now all of a sudden, God works in our life, and God takes one of our loved ones home, and there's a hole there, and there's a loneliness there, and the reason that is God is getting our attention that we need him. We need him. We have each other, but that's not going to take and fill the void. And so when God speaks to us in this way, it's that we might stop and consider him. You see, funerals aren't for Marvin. This isn't for Marvin. This is for us. Funerals aren't for the dead. They're for the living. It's for us to grieve, yes. And it's for us to mourn together, and we have to. But this is for us to look for God to fill the gap. There are some widows here and some widowers here. And you know what that's like when God has filled the gap. The rest of us can't speak from experience. But the Lord Jesus said to the Christian, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Does that just mean that he shows up once in a while at the just a critical moment, just before we all fall apart and about to give up the race? That's not the idea. The idea is an abiding presence of the Lord Jesus to be with his people continuously. But we live such a shallow life sometimes that we only look to God to bail us out of the tough spots. And he wants to be there all the time. So we weep with those that weep. Sometimes God takes our breath away that we can't talk. And that's so that we can listen to what he has to say. We rejoice with those that rejoice. We weep today with those that weep. I would like to look at a couple verses just in contrast here, and then we'll be done. John chapter 17, verse number 24. It goes like this. This is a prayer of the Lord Jesus. He says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. This is a request of the Lord Jesus and a longing of his heart that those that are saved be with him. Those that were given him, those that are born again. And sometimes when people are sick, and I should say all the time, we pray for them to get better. We pray for them to get better. But sometimes, maybe all the time, we're praying for second best. The Lord wants his people with him. And that's his prayer. Father, I will. This is what I want. I want them, those that are mine, to be with me. And that's where Marvin is. Not because of Marvin. Not because of how hard he worked. But it's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. People don't go to heaven by going to church. Marvin isn't in heaven because of his faithfulness to the gospel hall here and the people here. And Marvin's in heaven because Christ died for his sin. And he found out that he was the hell-deserving sinner that Christ died for. That's why he's there. And he would tell you, it's nothing of me. It's nothing of me. And so you've got this will of God that those that are with him, those that are his, be with him. And then in 2 Peter chapter 3, we've got another one. Verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so really we have two different deaths here. Because if we're going to be with the Lord Jesus in heaven, we're going to have to die, or the Lord is going to come. So you have a death that the Lord Jesus is looking forward to. For those that have trusted him, that have lived their life, and their service is now over, and to be taken home to be in heaven. He's longing for that. That's his will. But there's other people. It says, God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. So for the believer, the Lord is longing for that day that we're with him in heaven. But for the unbeliever, he's not willing that any should perish. That means to be separated from God. And Marvin would tell you that. Two different ways to die. To die in Christ, or to die in our sin. And God is not willing that anyone die in their sin. But they should all come to repentance, that we should all change our thinking. And that just means this, that God is right and I am wrong about everything. About everything. And to turn and side with God against ourselves. Sometimes, let's say you've got two people that are, they're both stubborn. And one is right and one is wrong. They both can't be right. How does the one that's wrong become right? Say you're married, and I can use my wife. I've used her as an example before. Usually if there's a disagreement, she's right and I'm wrong. I said that publicly. You can write that down. On this day, I admitted it. But how do I become right if I disagree with her? Simply agree with her. When someone is right, and I am wrong, in order for me to be right, I agree with the one that's right. And that's how it is with God. God is always right. And if you disagree with what he says, you're the one that's wrong, and I'm the one that's wrong. And repentance is when we agree with God against ourselves. God, you're right. I've been wrong. And that's what God wants. He doesn't want anyone to die in their sin. He wants everyone to be saved. And sometimes people say at a funeral, how can a loving God do this to us? Why does he allow this even to happen? And that's a common question, and it's good to think about. He allows it to happen for you and I. The one that's home in the glory, things couldn't be better. But it's for you and I to think today. Think seriously. That's what Marvin would want. He would want his passing to be used of God to touch those that are left. If Marvin could talk today, what would he say? What would he say? I was thinking about that this morning. I wonder what Marvin would preach at his own funeral. What would he say? Well, I'll tell you right now, he'll tell you the glories of the Lord Jesus and those wounds in his hands and his feet and his side and the splendors of heaven and the light of that place and the glory of that place, because we read in John that they may behold my glory. The glory of heaven. Marvin's beholding that. Maybe he's speechless right now. Just looking at the beauty of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that loved him and died for him. So there's a contrast. There's rejoicing with those that rejoice, and there's weeping with those that weep, and there's the Lord looking forward to those that are his to be with him, even through the article of death. And then there's the contrast that he doesn't want anyone to perish, to miss their opportunity of salvation. And there's two more verses. Psalm 116 is one. It says this. Psalm 116 and verse number 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious. Marvin's passing is precious to the Lord. You ever waited for someone for a long time? And finally they're there? Sure you have. You were probably angry that they were late, though. But Marvin was right on time. He was right on time. And it was precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of his saints. Precious. Of great value, of great importance, of great worth. Forever with the Lord. The Lord is likened, he is the bridegroom, and those that are saved are the bride. And how much of a longing was there on the wedding day for the bride and the bridegroom to be together? Precious day. Marvin is beholding the bridegroom. He's beholding his glory. But there's the other kind. It's in Ezekiel. Ezekiel, excuse me. Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel 18 and verse number 32 says, God says, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live. God takes no pleasure in someone who passes away, who dies, leaves this world, not ready. Not ready. No pleasure. So there's a contrast today. You see, in Marvin's life, before he was saved, he was this one. If he'd have died in that snowmobile accident that night, he'd been lost forever. He'd told you that, I'm sure, himself. He was the hell-deserving sinner. And God has no pleasure in the death of those that die that way. So I got to ask the question, as we all examine ourselves, which one am I? Which one am I? Is it going to be precious? Is it going to be of no pleasure? Is it going to be rejoicing or weeping? Marv wanted me to be faithful today. And I hope as we consider this that we do rejoice with Marvin today and those that are rejoicing. And I hope we weep today, for there is a great loss. There is a great hole that only God can fill. And He will fill it. He is faithful. But I just want to draw this to your attention as we draw this to a close. The Lord wills that those that are saved be with Him. But He is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm thankful to think of where Marvin is. I don't know all what's taking place in heaven. There's a few things that are given to us. Marvin liked to sing. He wasn't a bad singer. He's even better today. He liked to worship and tell God all the things he appreciated about his son. That's what worship is. Oh, he's worshiping like he's never worshiped before, for he sees him as he is. Marvin's basking in the love of the one who loved him and died for him. What about us? The contrast at a funeral. Now the ladies will sing us another hymn, and we'll have a closing prayer and a few announcements.
Shines a forget.
We'll pray. Father, as we come to a close of this little service this morning, we commit to Thee this day. Our Father, we're thankful for the life that our brother lived. We're thankful for his moment of salvation, for his faithful obedience to Thee, for his service, for his love to all. Our Father, we do pray again for the family and for those of us that are here and some who aren't able to be with us. Lord, for Thy comforting and for Thy healing hand upon us, and that we might hear Thy voice in all of this, that it might challenge us, that it might comfort us, that it might motivate us for the days to come. And our Father, we're thankful that the memories of Marvin will linger on, and we give thanks to Thee for the family, that they're close together. We pray that, our Father, that they might be able to help each other, and for the Christian family and the community, as when we lose one of our own, our Father, that we might draw near and comfort one another. Father, we pray now for the committal service out at the grave. Father, Thy presence would be with us there as well, as we look to Thee to glorify Thy Son this day, as we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we're going to go to the Billings Creek Cemetery. All who can, please come. We'll have a little processional. We'll have the white truck be the lead, and we'll take these things with us, and we'll set up out there as quickly as we can. If there's someone that's not going to go and you'd like to greet the family, you can do so outside very briefly as we get ready to go. So thanks for coming, and we'll meet at the funeral or at the graveside.